we're doing a marriage series. We're in the middle of that because a couple things. One is we just think that that's so critical that we help strengthen the marriages in our church and in our community because it's God's institution. It's His building block for community. It's His building block for how life is supposed to operate and function. So if we can help strengthen marriages and help strengthen families, then we want to be about that. We also think it's what the enemy loves to attack. He loves to get inside of marriages and families and bust them up and break them apart. So we're doing that today. I wanted to start with a little fun game. I'm wondering how long we've been married. So I'm going to go for the longest married couple in here today. If you've been married for more than 20 years, if someone in that couple, slip your hand up. All right. Look at that. Yeah, give them a hand. That's awesome. 20. Keep them up. Keep them up. I'm sorry I didn't strike. Keep your hands up. How about 25 years? Drop your hands if you don't. 30. 35. 40. Over here, I think, is our winner. Come on, give him a hand. One of you head up here a second. I got a little gift card I want to give you. Just to say congratulations on how many years? 45 years of marriage. That's just awesome. That's almost like showing off. That's awesome. Congratulations. Very cool. So I gave him a little gift card to Starbucks. Because if you've been married 19 years or 45 years, it's easy to get in a rut. Am I not right? It's a little easy to get in a routine. You go to the same places and do the same things at the same time even. Like you can set your clock to some couples. I mean, we're one of them. You can get in the rut of doing all those things. You can get in the rut of having the same arguments over and over again. Isn't that right? Now, let me ask you something. After having the same argument 15 different times, has anyone, your spouse, ever gone, oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I have been wrong all this time. Thank you for opening my eyes to how stupid I've been. That never happens. It kind of makes you wonder why you continue to have the same arguments, right? Why? I tell you what, you know, after a while, it's just easy. I hear it all the time. We've drifted apart or we fell out of love. Marriages just get kind of stale and then they slowly fade away. They don't usually end in a night or an instant. They usually just erode away over time. We lose the passion. We lose the passion that made being married so great to begin with, right? And you wonder where that happened or why that happened. Let me ask you this. When something gets stale, especially something that's living gets stale, what happens to it? It gets moldy and it kind of stinks. When things get stale, they stink. Now, there may be a significant and legitimate reason why you're not really happy in your marriage. You're not fulfilled in your marriage. Possibly because it's stale and it stinks and it just stinks. See, the reasons that brought you together, the reasons that you were attracted to that person in the first place, the reason that you got together in the first place, those reasons somehow have vanished. And those are not the same reasons that you're staying together today. And the reasons you might be holding on to your marriage or your relationship today is you think these thoughts, well, there's kids involved. Or, I just can't imagine my life different than this, so I'm going to ride out all the heartache, I'm going to ride out all the frustration, and we're just going to get through this. And if that's where you're at, I'm going to just tell you this morning, you need a new reason for marriage. So that's what we're going to talk about, finding a reason, the right reason to be together. You need to get back to the place where I think we all start. In fact, we're trying to get back to the place that Gabriel and I started. I got a picture I want us to show. That's Gabe and me 18 years ago, newly married. Now, let's get the obvious out of the way. Stonewashed jeans. Hideous. We won't even go with the hair. Okay, it's all right. We're dressed alike. Okay, we match. That's in itself is bad. Big bear hug, laughing, having fun. I remember those. I remember that day like it was really yesterday. And yet so much has happened and so much routine and so much structure and so much other things going on that days like that, it's just, they don't happen as often. They don't happen as often. So the question is, how do we get back to the place where marriage was fun? How do we get back to the place where marriage was what we intended it to be in the beginning and what God intends it to be all along? Revelation 2:4 says this, "You have forsaken your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first." Now, I just want to be theologically accurate and correct here. This is not a passage on marriage, Revelation 2:4. And he says, "You have forsaken your first love, repent and do the things you did at first." He's talking to the church and he's talking to you and I that oftentimes we get into a relationship with God and it's wonderful and it's exciting and it's new and we fall in love with Jesus and it's just amazing and we do all these things. We can't read enough scripture. We can't be in church enough. All this great newness, and then the newness wears off and we forsake our first love. Now that happens far too often, but let me say this. I think the principle still applies in marriage too. We lose our way in this love relationship called marriage and we stop doing the things that we did in the beginning. He doesn't open the car door for me anymore. He doesn't even, when I'm trying to share my heart with him, he doesn't even peel his eyes off the TV anymore. She never asked me about my day like she used to. And we could go on and on about how things have changed and how they're different because we've forsaken our first love. Let me ask you this. Do you know why you did all those things? You did goo-goo eyes and you talked late into the night with each other? Do you know why you opened the car door and you said, "Yes, ma'am, and I love you and you're special and all this great stuff"? You know why, right? You're trying to win them. You're trying to impress them. You might want to marry them. And if that's in your brain and that's the reason, then you're going to do what? You're going to put your best foot forward to get them. Well, guess what? If you're married, you got them. And all those reasons to impress them and to win them, those reasons are what? They're gone. They're way gone. And you might be thinking, well, what's my reason now? Things are different. There's kind of a marriage culture shock, if you will. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Marriage reveals what dating conceals. Anybody with me? Did you find out some things about your spouse on the other side of the altar that you didn't know beforehand? Don't name things. You have to ride home with them. And so all those reasons to put your, I mean, my wife has learned some things about me. And those things, I'm sure, are not all pleasing to her. So you need a new reason. And here's why. So that you will do the things you used to do, but for the right reasons. So you need a new reason in marriage, the right reason in marriage, so that you can do and not forsake your first love and to do the things you did at first and look like that couple that's just mad struck in love, hugging each other, laughing, having a great... That is what God wants for you in your marriage. But you need a new reason. See, here's the deal. You can have the newness back if you're willing to act like you did at first. You can have the newness and the freshness and the intimacy and the romance and the fun in your relationship if you'll do the things you did at first. But here's the problem. We don't want to. It's not that we don't know what to do. Am I right? Every guy in here knows that they should open their door for their spouse or for who they're dating. Am I right? We all know that. We don't need to be told that. But the problem is a motivation problem. We just don't want to anymore.
Why can't you get her own door?
My remote keyless is broke. I gotta go all the way around. We know what we're supposed to do. It's a motivation issue. We know we're supposed to open the door. We know we're not supposed to interrupt when they're talking. We know we should say please. We know we should say thank you. We know we should take time for each other. We know we should listen without distractions. We know we're supposed to do all those things, but we don't do them. Here's why. We're so focused on what they should be doing, we forget all about what we should be doing. And when it's not even that, and you know what you should do, and it's like on your radar, you just think, I don't really want it that bad anymore. I hear every once in a while I'll get something, Pastor Rod, will you tell my husband to do so and so? Will you tell him to be nicer to me? Will you tell him to do these things you're talking about? And I'm like, no. I don't even want to get in the middle of my own marriage. I really don't want to get in the middle of your marriage. God, if God was sitting here this morning, I believe with all my heart, what he's trying to say to you and I today is that he wants to give you a new reason for your marriage so you can do the things you did at first. Are you ready to hear what it is? Here's the reason. You guys ready? Let's go. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 21, is sort of like the quintessential Bible passage on marriage, and it's the one we got to go to and talk about. He said, if you're going to work and if it's going to be like you need it to be and you need a new reason, here's the reason. You ready? He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He says, submit yourself, defer to your partner, put their needs ahead of your own. We kind of talked about this week one in the series. You guys remember? The different boxes, and that's your box and your desires, and that not only should we not focus on our expectations, we should start focusing on what their desires are. You remember all that, right? We know that we should put their needs ahead of our own needs. We kind of know that, don't we? At this point, that should be kind of known. But did you catch the why in that passage? He says, submit to one another. That sounds really rough. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, what he doesn't say is submit to one another because your partner is so awesome. Submit to your partner because you revere them, because they're so worthy of your submission to them. Doesn't say that at all. He says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, but because out of your respect and gratitude to God, you'll submit to them and you'll put their needs ahead of their own. Here's what it looks like. If you've experienced a love relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, and he has come into your life and you're now new and free and forgiven and clean and all that awesome stuff that comes with having a relationship with God. And so you're like jacked up about that and say, hey, God, I am so pumped about how great you are. God, I am so thankful for what you've done for me. I can't believe that you were willing to forgive me and all my junk. I mean, because you were able to do that and you were willing to do that and accept me as your child and to love me and to forgive me and do all these things for me. Hey, God, I just want you to know whatever you want me to do, anyway, I can say thank you for all that you've done for me. I just want you to know that I'll do it. And God says, man, that's awesome. I'm so glad you're coming to me in this kind of humility. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to submit to your spouse. And we go, no, wait a minute, God. Maybe you didn't hear me clearly. See, this is kind of between me and you. Don't involve them so much. I want to talk about me and you because you're so great. I want to just express to you my great love for you because you've loved me first. God, I want to just, between me and you. He says, you love me. Yes. You're grateful for what I've done. Yes. You want to express your love for me. Yes, God. Then I want you to put your spouse and their needs and their desires ahead of your own and submit to them. That's your why. That's your reason. Not because of them, but because of me. That's your why. I'm going to just tell you like this. You get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. You get a new marriage. You and I get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. Your reason to forgive. Your reason to love. Your reason to overlook. Your reason to be kind. Your reason to do the dishes. Your reason to vacuum the car. Your reason to open the car door. Your reason to say, I'm sorry. When God becomes the reason to do all the dirty work and nastiness of marriage, when he becomes your reason, you get a new marriage. All right. Thank you. I'm fired up too. When he's your reason, you get a new marriage. The passage continues. Here's what it keeps going. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Did y'all feel that? Get a little tense in here? Everybody pucker up just a little bit. All y'all like, some of y'all like, I can't believe he just read that. He really read that passage. Isn't that the one we kind of skip around? I'll get there. Lisa wants me to hurry up. I'm just going to sit in this tension for a minute. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And the reason it's tense in the room right now and we're all laughing a little awkwardly is because that has been abused for like forever. Because they don't finish the sentence. See, what it doesn't say is, it doesn't say, submit, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands because they are so great at being husbands. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands because they are always right. It doesn't say wives, submit yourselves to your husbands because they deserve it. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. As you do to the Lord. Because God has done so much for you. Because you are so grateful to Him. Because God has shown so much mercy on you. You submit yourselves to Him. You say, isn't that between me and you, God? Or, if he were to be more such and such, then I would be willing to do this. If he was more romantic, thoughtful, better listener, more communicative, if he was one of these things, if he was more, then God, I could do this. God says, wait. I thought this was about me. Isn't this as to the Lord? Because if it's for me and about me, then don't focus on him. Don't focus on his flaws. Don't point that out or hone in on that. Do it for me. Do it for me. My dad asked me to do something about a week ago. One of the hardest things I've ever done. And I love my father. And I said, Dad, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do. He said, I need you to do a favor for me. I said, Dad, I'll do it. Doesn't matter what it is. I'll do it. That's got to be your reason. That your heavenly Father has said, listen, because you love me, I'm asking you to do this for me. And if you can get there and you can do that, and if God is your reason, then ladies, you'll be able to go along with his stupid decision even when you know it's wrong. Even when you know he's going to make a fool out of himself. Even when you know it might cost you financially. Even though it may not be the best thing for your family. Because he has to answer to someone else. See, freely we have been given by God, right? Freely he's extended the offer of grace. Freely he has said, I have loved you. Freely I take you as my child. I paid a horrible price, but to you, the solution has been free. And if freely you've been given, then freely you can give. You get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. You get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. Guess what, guys? The passage doesn't end there. All right. Let's do it. All of you submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now listen, you can be single. You can be a sixth grader in here. And you need to learn that principle. Submit yourselves out of reverence to Christ. Why do I treat my classmates with respect out of reverence for Christ? Why do I do a good job and not talk bad about my coworkers? Out of reverence for Christ. Why do I, the person people turn to in my workplace or in my school when they need a friend? Because you're that kind of person out of reverence for who? Out of Christ, for Christ. But he's honing in on marriage here and he just nailed the wife, so let's nail the husband. You ready? Mixed 50-50, I don't know why. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her because she's so lovable all the time. Because she's the cutest thing when things are going wrong in the house. Because she's so deserving all the time. No. Is this starting to sound familiar? Is this starting to get a little repetitive? Maybe, just maybe, this should sink in. It's because it's the same thing for men and it's the same reason for men. It's not because of them and where they are. You can love your wife in her most unlovable moments, not because she's lovable, but because there's a God who has loved you. And if he's freely given you his love and you've received his love, then you can freely give his love to someone that is not worthy and deserving because he's your reason. He's your reason. You get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. Husbands, you get a new marriage when God becomes your reason. You quit keeping score. You can do the dishes without asking. You can do all these things because God's your reason, not her. And I'm going to just put it to you this way. I mean, I think conflict is such a all the time thing in marriage, working through. I had to text and call Gabriel the other day and say, hey, I could tell I hurt your feelings when we parted this morning. I just want you to know I didn't intend that. And I am so sorry for that. And here's what I would say. If you're going to be the spiritual leader in your home and be the man that God's called you to be the husband that your wife would willingly and gladly submit to and make it easier on her, here's what you do. You be the leader when it comes to conflict in your home. Not in causing it. You already do that. In resolving it. Be the leader in resolving the conflict in your home. And here's what it looks like. When the problem hits and it's ugly and it's bad and the dust settles, you own the 5, 10, 15, 50, 90%, whatever it is, whatever was your part of the problem, you own it. And you go to her first and you don't point out her flaws and you don't tell her what she did wrong and you own up and say, I'm sorry for this part of what I've done. See, if God's your reason, you'll do that. Even though everything in you, your emotions, your pride, everything will say, don't do this. And yet the Spirit of God is saying, you do this. You do it. Not because you're worthy, but because God is worthy. This submitting thing's hard, isn't it? This loving someone that's unlovable is pretty hard, isn't it? You don't know, you know why, right? It is a pride swallowing exercise. It is a pride swallowing exercise. There's no getting around that. It is putting them ahead of yourself. And I'll tell you this, guys, my wife, I've been very happily married for 19 years, but she's not my reason. There's times that she can't be my reason because she faults me and I fault her. And so the reason isn't always because she's such a lovable person. The reason has got to be him. And I'll tell you this, it's hard to submit and swallow my pride for anybody. Sometimes especially my spouse. But it's a whole lot easier to swallow my pride before Almighty God, the ruler of this world. The creator, the sustainer, the savior, the one who is willing to go to a cross for me, the one that would love me when I did not love him, who I rejected and scorned. If I was at the foot of the cross, I might have been hurling insults. And yet he loved me first. And that is someone I can submit myself to. It's so much easier to submit to Christ than it is to submit to anybody else. It's so much easier to submit to him. I've had bosses, you've had bosses you don't want to submit to. You've had parental authorities or school authorities or legal authorities that you've rebelled against because you didn't think they had your best interest in mind. But there is one who has always had your best interest in mind. He's always had your best interest in mind. And you can submit and leave your will in his hands. We're called the bride of Christ. You know that? This group right here, The church is called the bride of Christ. Now, for guys, that's icky. I get it. Dudes don't like that image is bad. I get it. We don't like that analogy. But it signifies the intimacy we have with the Savior. It shows us the love he has for us and the respect that he demands from us. Let me ask you, how much respect should I show my husband, you might be thinking? Only as much respect as you would show Jesus Christ. How much should I love my wife? Only as much as Christ has loved you. Let that sink in for a minute. That is our standard for respecting and loving and submitting to one another, doing it as unto him. And it's not based on how well they've treated you or how much they've pleased you or how much they've met your needs or how good you're getting along. It is based on something way more solid than that. It is a love relationship with the God who has always loved you. That's your reason. Guys, this story blew me away. True story. Labor Day weekend, I think this got demonstrated for me maybe more than any other time I've ever seen it. So we took the whole family, had some other family meet at my sister's house, and they have a pool there. And so we were over there having a cookout, and then we went to the pool, and then a couple car full of kids we brought back. And as we were about to pull into her driveway, there was a van, like, blocking the drive. I'm like, get out of the way, right? And they wouldn't move, and they're waving us on. And what he realizes, I needed to swing right where he was to get in the driveway. So I whip around him, and I was going to back into the drive. And as I started to back in, I looked in my rearview mirror, and there's this woman on a scooter in my sister's driveway. Had the hair like, poof. You know, like Happy Gilmore, the Mr. Mister guy, that crazy lady? Looked like her kind of. Like, freaked me out. I'm like, whoa, what's, you know, who's in the driveway on a scooter? You don't expect that. And so this lady's tooling around in the driveway, and she whips it in right next to my car and starts having a conversation with us. My husband is trying to kill me, she says. She's sunburned. She's frantic. She's crying. Her hair's crazy. She's in a panic. My husband is trying to kill me. And about that time, I look up into the van that's sitting there, and there's a man about the same age, patiently waiting behind that wheel. And I looked into his eyes. He was calm. He was steady. He didn't blink. He didn't flinch. She was going on and on. So eventually he comes out and she says, I need to get away from him. He's trying to kill me. And he said, darling, she was confused and kind of lost orientation. He says, darling, if you'll just go right up here on the driveway and get back onto the sidewalk, you'll be much safer. And so he kind of coaxed her along, and he just kind of waves and says goodbye. He gets back in his van, and he patiently follows his wife, who had clearly lost her mind, and was following her around the neighborhood, watching over her, when she had nothing to offer him anymore. He loved her. I don't know what his reason was, but I got a feeling his reason was the right reason. I got a feeling he had the right reason. What other reason would you have to love someone like that? I hope for your marriage and my marriage one day, if we get tested to the brink like that, that we'll have the right reason, and that reason would sustain us even when our spouse has nothing left to give us. That's the power of the right reason. What if they don't end up to their end of the bargain? What if I've got the right reason? What if I do things sacrificially? What if I submit, but they're not willing to do their part? Can I tell you, it is a gamble. There's a risk there. But I'll also tell you this. The likelihood of them coming around is really, really great. And here's why. There is nothing more attractive and powerful and seductive than unconditional love. The power of unconditional love has the way of melting hearts and changing lives like nothing else. People respond to unconditional love because it's the one thing we've all craved from the moment we left the womb. is to be loved unconditionally. So I can tell you this. I can tell you what's not a gamble is stepping into God's unconditional love. All the love that you and I have been looking for, perhaps in relationships or whatever for our lifetime, it's not a gamble because there's a God who loves you at your best and at your worst. The best you've ever done and the worst you've ever done. All the stuff in your past, it doesn't matter to Him. He loves you anyway. And when you have this and your spouse disappoints, or things don't turn out the way they should, or life is throwing you just junk and trials, you still are loved and accepted and valuable to Him. And you still have everything you need because you have His unconditional love. It's what we've been made to experience. Can I tell you this? You can't experience it in your marriage until you first experienced it from Him. There's just no way to give it or receive it. It doesn't make sense to us. We can't really even fathom what unconditional love looks like until we first experienced it ourselves. And once we've experienced the unconditional, forgiving, accepting, renewing love of Jesus Christ, it will always be a mystery to us and we'll never really get it. And we'll never really have it in our relationships. But once it's been experienced and received, it can be freely given back. So we were all wired and created to know and want His unconditional love, but here's the deal. There's only one thing that'll keep you from it. There's only one thing that'll keep you from it, and it's pride. Being this willing to submit and realize and admit that you need God's forgiveness, you need God's help, and you need His unconditional love. You have to admit it and you have to ask for it. So as we wrap up this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never known the unconditional love of God and you realize that unless you have His forgiveness, that you can't have that. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, then today can be your day. And if you're in your marriage and you would just say, listen, I need a new reason. Things aren't going the way they should. It's time to take His reason. Will you pray with me? Father, I know that when we experience Your love and Your forgiveness, it changes everything. And I also know it feels like a step of faith. It feels like a gamble. But I pray that in this seats this morning, if there's anyone here that's not experienced the unconditional love of God, I pray that you prove to them right now in their seat that it's worth the risk. It's worth taking a chance on you because you have never disappointed. You have never failed and you've never let anyone down. And so in your seats this morning, if you're willing to say, I need to know this love that is all forgiving and all consuming and that can change me inside to out, just cry out to God right now and say, God, I need You. I need Your forgiveness. Because my choices and my sin have blocked Your love in my life. And I'm willing to lay down my life. I'm willing to submit my life to You. Because I can trust You. Because You were willing to die for me. No strings attached. And Father, for others that are in here this morning that said, listen, I'm struggling. We're struggling in our marriage. And I can't find a single reason to love them the way I should love them. God, I pray today they choose a new reason. That they'll choose You as their reason. And they can have the marriage You want them to have because You are worthy of all submission and love and forgiveness and kindness that they'll ever need in marriage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.